Shabbos Daf Nun Vav, Rabbi Yonasan says, anyone who says that Shmuel's son sinned is mistaken. The Pasuk says that when Shmuel became old, his sons didn't follow in his ways. They didn't follow in Shmuel's lofty ways, however, they didn't sin. However, the Gemara notes that the Pasuk says that they turned aside to monetary gain and bribes, and, you know, they were biased in judgment. So the Gemara answers that they didn't act like their father. That Pasuk means that they didn't act like their father who went throughout all of Israel to judge the people for them. Rather, they stayed in their city and made all the people come to them when they wanted their judgment, so that their own attendants and scribes would be able to make money, and so that they could just stay in their own homes and their own towns and make money with their private businesses. So this whole idea of whether Shmuel's son sinned or not is actually Machlokas Tanaim. The Pasuk says that we quote before that they turned aside after monetary gain. Rav Meir explains that they explicitly requested their miser, their tithe portion, as Levium, they were eligible to miser. However, they explicitly asked the people who were not able to refuse them, which isn't, you know, a sin, but it's morally wrong. Rav Yehuda says that they were biased towards the people that they did business with in their judgments. Rabbi Akiva says they forcibly took too much miser, more than, you know, their portion. And Rabbi Yossi says they forcibly took the Kohanim's share from the Karbanos. So we have Rav Meir who says they didn't actually sin, and the other opinions say that they did sin. Rabbi Yonasan says, whoever says that David sinned is mistaken. And the story with David is that he saw Bathsheba, and she was married to Uriah, and Uriah was out at war, and he ended up having relations with Bathsheba, and she became pregnant, and David called in Uriah from battle so that Uriah could go home to Bathsheba, and then people would just, you know, assume that Uriah impregnated Bathsheba, and they wouldn't think that she committed adultery, but the Gemara is going to explain how there wasn't really anything wrong with it, but David did end up putting Uriah on the front lines in battle so that he would be killed, so that David could marry Bathsheba, because the Pasuk says, the way we know David didn't actually sin is because the Pasuk says David was successful in all his ways and Hashem was with him. If David did sin and commit such a sin like this of adultery, then Hashem wouldn't be with him. However, the Pasuk says that when Nasan the prophet, the Navi, is criticizing David for this whole thing, Nasan says to him, why have you despised the word of Hashem to do evil? So The Gemara answers that David sought to sin, but he didn't actually end up sinning. And Rav says that Rebbe, who was a descendant of David, came to David's defense, because the Pasuk says, Madu abazita devar Hashem la'asot hara, why have you despised the word of Hashem to do evil? And he says, this is different from all other evils, from all other sins, because usually throughout the Torah, it's going to say vayas hara, that you did this evil. Here it says la'asot, because David wanted to sin, but he didn't end up sinning. And he continues to explain all the psukim in Nasan's criticism of David. It says, you struck Uriah Hachiti with the sword, that you should have brought him to Sanhedrin for his rebellion, because Uriah will see soon that Uriah rebelled against David, and anyone who rebels against the king is chai of Misa, is fit to die, but you still should have taken him to the Sanhedrin for him to be tried, and you took his wife onto yourself for a wife. Nasan was informing him, according to Rebbe, that you can legally marry her. Rabbi Yonasan says the reason for that is because in David's days, all the soldiers would write a get to their wife in case they died in battle, so before they went out to battle, they divorced their wives, so that if their body was lost and they couldn't find it, their wives would be able to remarry. And the proof for that is when the Pasuk says, Vas arubavtem tikach, that Yishai, David's father, said to David, ascertain their safety. Rabbi Yosef explains that he was told to go to his brothers who were in battle and bring back a get from them to give to their wives. Yishai was teaching him that that's the proper conduct for battle. So then Rabbi continues, but when the Pasuk says, you have slain him with the sword of Ammon, that just like David, you're not punished for the killings that happened in the Ammon war, so too you're not going to be punished here either for causing Uriah to be killed. So why not? Because, like we had said before, Uriah was a Morid B'Malchus, someone who rebels against the king. Why? For two accounts. One is that he compared Yoav, the general, who was just the general of the army, to the king, to David, and they said that they had the same position, which is a rebellion against the king, and he just refused to accept David's orders. When David said, go home to Bathsheba, he refused to do that. So Rav said that David's only sin was this with Uriah, so he disagrees with Rabbi Yonasan, because he said that David did sin by Uriah. However, Abaye Kshisha notes a problem with Rav, because Rav elsewhere says that David accepted Lashon Hara. So this would be a kashya. This is a problem for Rav's opinion. So it seems like he's saying that David had more than one sin. So we're going to go back to this idea where Rav had said that David accepted Lashon Hara. So what is this? He accepted Lashon Hara from Tziva, who was the slave of Mephibosheth, who was a descendant of Shaul. Shaul was the previous king before David. And Siva the slave was slandering against Mephibosheth, and he was claiming that Mephibosheth was hoping that he would be able to claim the throne back from David. So how do we know that David actually accepted this Lashon Hara? Because the pasuk says that David gave Siva everything that belonged to Mephibosheth. All of his property was given to his slave. Shmuel says that David didn't knowingly accept the Lashon Hara of Siva. Rather, he gave Siva all of Mephibosheth's stuff because he saw that there were recognizable signs and Mephibosheth that seemed to confirm Tziva's report, because when David and Mephibosheth met up, Mephibosheth didn't groom himself to meet David and didn't make himself presentable, showing that he was seemingly mourning over David's return. Therefore, after Mephibosheth explained himself to David and why, what was going on and everything, that there, you know, wasn't any truth to Tziva's report, David said that he and Siva, Mephibosheth and Siva, would split all the property 50-50, and Mephibosheth then said back to him, oh, let Siva take all of it because my lord the king is returning in peace to his house. And the Gemara explains that this is what Mephibosheth was saying, I've been hoping for your return this entire time. I wanted you to come back and be to the king, and this is how you treat me. My complaint is not against you, rather it's against the one who returned you in peace. It's against Hashem. So that's why later on there's a pasuk that calls Mephibosheth Meriv Baal, someone who starts up fights, because he quarreled against Hashem. He fought against Hashem and rebelled against Hashem by saying, I'm upset that you returned David. So therefore there was a baskel, a voice from heaven that went out and said, you're a quarreler, son of a quarreler. He's a quarreler, he's a fighter, like we had said before, how we complained against Hashem when David returned, and he's the son of a quarreler because he's the descendant of Shaul, who rebelled against Hashem when he was told to kill all of Amalek, according to Rav Mani, that he didn't want to do that, and he had second thoughts about killing all of Amalek. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav that when David declared Mephibosheth and Siva his slave would split the land, the decree went out that Rehavam and Yeravam would split the kingdom, because one giving splitting it between the king and his slave, just like with Mephibosheth and his slave Tziva. And Yehuda Amar in the name of Rav also says that if David hadn't accepted this Lashon Hara, then his kingdom would never have been divided. Bnei Yisrael never would have done Avodah Zarah, and there would not have been any Gullus. There wouldn't have been an exile. Rav Yonasan says, whoever says that Shlomo sinned is mistaken, because the pasuk says his heart was not perfect with Hashem like the heart of his father David. Yeah, granted, he wasn't like David, but he still was not a sinner. However, the pasuk says at the time of Shlomo's old age, his wives turned his heart aside after other gods. It seems like he was doing Avodah Zarah. Rav Nassan explains that he didn't actually go after these other gods, so it's not to be taken literally. However, the pasuk says, "As Yibane Shlomo Bama Lekimu Shikuts Moab," that Shlomo built an altar to the idol of Moab. It seems like he's doing Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara answers that he sought to, he wanted to do it, but he didn't actually end up doing it. He never committed the sin. However, we have a pasuk that's in the same format of this Azibane that says, Azibane Yoshua Mizbeach Lashem. Yoshua built an altar to Hashem. So we're going to say here that Yoshua just wanted to, but he didn't actually do it. No, here Yoshua actually built the altar. So too, Shlomo actually built the altar, and it seemingly did Avodah Zarah. So if a Bryce that answers it, Rabbi Yossi says, there's a pasuk that compares Yoshiahu destroying, the king Yoshiahu destroying all of the altars, to Shlomo having built these altars. Just like Yoshiahu didn't actually destroy all of the Avodah Zarah altars, because previous righteous kings like Asa and Yehoshaphat took part and were a part of destroying all the altars, Yoshiahu didn't actually destroy all of them, but he was credited with having destroyed them. So to Shlomo, who didn't actually build these altars, he's still attributed to their building. However, the pasuk says that Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Why? Because he should have protested against his wives doing Avodah Zarah, but since he didn't protest and stop them, it's as if he himself did it. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that it would have been better for Shlomo to have been the servant of an idolater than for the pasuk to be written about him that he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel goes on to say that when Shlomo married Bas Paro, the daughter of Paro, she brought in 1,000 instruments and said, this is how you do Avodah Zarah for this idol, this is how you worship this idol, etc. And Shlomo didn't object or stop it. Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel says that when he married Bas Paro, the daughter of Paro, Gavriel, the angel, put a reed pole into the sea and a sandbank started forming around it. And this is where Rome was built, which I guess you could take it more to mean that they put, they set the actions into place that Rome would come along and eventually persecute the Jews for, as a punishment for Shlomo. There's a bracha that says that when Yeravam, the wicked king, put a golden calf in Beiskel and Dan for Avodah Zarah, then there was a hut that was built and this became Italia of Yavan, the Italy basically of Yavan, the Greeks, who we also know came along and persecuted the Jews. Again, they set actions into motion that would eventually lead to the persecution and punishment of the Jews. Rav Yonasan says, whoever says that Yoshiyahu sinned is mistaken. The righteous king Yoshiyahu, we had said before, because the pasuk says he did what was right in the eyes of Hashem and walked in all the ways of David his father. And however, the Gemara asks, there's a pasuk that says before him there was none like him, a king who returned to Hashem. So this implies that he returned to Hashem that previously he had sinned. So the Gemara answers, no, there had been no Torah. Previous wicked kings had hidden all the Torahs and destroyed all the Torahs. So later, they eventually came and found a Torah that was hidden, and Yoshiyahu learned everything in there, and therefore, because of that, he paid back all the losing sides in any judgments that he made, any monetary cases in the losing side in the judgment. He paid back all their money. B'chol mo'ado, the pasuk says, from his own personal money, he paid them back. And this actually disagrees with Rav, who says there was no greater Baal Tshuva, someone who did Tshuva and came back to Hashem, than King Yoshiyahu in his generation, and Abba, the father of Rabbi Yirmiyah, in our generation. However, some say it was actually Acha, his brother, because Mar said that Acha and Abba were brothers, but either way, that's what Rav says. Rav Yosef adds, also Ukvan bar Nechemya, who was the son of the Reish Galusa, was also a great Baal Tshuva in our generation. I know that because one time Rav Yosef says, I was dozing off in a shir, in a lecture, and I saw in a dream, in my daydream, that an angel was stretching forward his hand to accept the Tshuva of Ukvan bar Nechemya. Hadron Alach Bameh Behemashkech. I'm finishing the fifth Perek.